Hi, and welcome to Generation GOAT, number 31. I am E. Christopher Clark, and with me, as always, is John Martin.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, man. So, yeah, 31.
31.
Eat it.
Pretty cool. We're just a little bit late, but that's because of Easter.
Easter, what are you going to do? We are nothing if not a religious podcast. So.
Here's the thing. Like, we typically record on Fridays, and we were going back and forth about when we were going to record next, and I said to you, hey, how's Friday? And you said to me, it's Good Friday, dude. Probably not a good time to record this podcast.
And actually, as it turned out, in imitation of our Lord's passion and suffering, I got the flu and was in bed the whole day, which is kind of the same thing.
Sure.
Whatever. I mean, yeah. It's close enough. I mean, what am I going to do? Crucify myself? Who am I talking
about? Only if you're in a Tori Amos song.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's not going to
happen. And as we've talked about, you don't want to be in a Tori Amos song because that lasts way longer.
Because it would take forever. Yeah. If Good Friday would be like 10 weeks before Easter if you're done on Tori Amos time.
That's kind of how it works with Tori. Did you do anything fun for Easter? I mean, it's not a...
I did the flu. That rocked. I watched a lot of Netflix on my new iPad in bed. Like, finally, technology has caught up with my need to do nothing. so I did that. I graded a few papers in my more lucid moments, I think.
those students will get back to you on whether or not there were actually grades on them.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. They'll probably be thankful there aren't. I watched a couple Red Sox games and screamed at my television.
Mm-hmm. I don't watch sports all that much, but
the worst fucking games ever. I'm pretty sure I'd rather watch Aaron Boone hit that home run in 2003. Then watch those games again.
Pretty bad.
Because it would be Wakefield giving up the home run, and at least I like Wakefield. Whereas watching Josh Beckett give up 7 in, like, no time, and then Clay Buchholz, who I also don't like doing it.
On the plus side, if you're a Mets fan, apparently things have been going really well.
Yeah, well, you know, since they got rid of that Bobby Valentine jackass.
I think it's hilarious how many people I know now who are Mets fans. There's this whole circle of people I know through the Portsmouth theater scene who are all Mets people.
That's true. Jillian and her husband are Mets fans.
And my friend Sean's wife, Maggie, is a Mets fan. And our mutual friends, whose names I'm forgetting, Laura and Chris. Well, actually, it's more Chris. I think are also. I don't know if it's that they're Mets fans or they're just along for the ride with Jillian and. Not that Chris and Laura.
I thought you meant the other Chris and Laura, and I was like, really? No. I didn't think they were into sports.
No, there's a Chris and Laura that I know from Portsmouth. Weird when pairings happen between people of the same name.
Yeah, people, you got to work that out. So, okay, all right. Yeah, no, so that, and I ate some chocolate, you know, as you do to celebrate Jesus. Izzard points out the color of the chocolate and the color of the wood on the cross there. Anyway.
I asked that question, did you do anything fun for Easter? And it occurs to me that if you are of the religious persuasion, if you're a Christian, then you're probably not supposed to have fun.
No, on Easter Day you are. Easter Day you're supposed to party. It's the first day during Lent. You're not allowed to say Alleluia. That's just like I don't know if it's just a Catholic thing or if it's also a Protestant thing. So
yeah,
whatever. But you know what have Protestants ever done for us except steal Northern Ireland? So no, I kid. I love. But anyway, so you're not allowed to say Alleluia, like Lent, you're supposed to be somber, but Easter's like the day you're allowed to say it again, and it's supposed to be like a big party, because, you know, it's the day that, you know, if you go in for that sort of thing, that Jesus, you know, does the miracle and comes back to life, and, you know, so it's...
Yeah. Okay, so I guess you are allowed.
Yeah, you're supposed to party, but the other thing, like the chocolate and the bunnies, that's all leftover pagan fertility stuff.
Right. Ostara or Easter something. I remember I had a calendar around the time that I was writing my senior project in college, and the calendar was for Joseph Michael Linsner's Dawn, and it had all of these each month had something related to whatever pagan holiday might have been in that month. And it was talking about Ostara, virgin goddess of the spring, and was fond of all woodland creatures, but most especially the bunny rabbits.
Yeah.
That was supposedly the excuse.
There's a lot of leftover stuff in the world, but hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well,
I guess it was Passover. Did you do anything for Passover on Saturday or?
No. I passed over celebrating Passover.
Nice.
We did.
Is anybody else we can offend while we're here? And you know, I left this chair next to my desk empty in case Elijah showed up. What are
Well, we haven't offended any Muslims yet, have we?
Let's not.
We don't need a fatwa.
We have tons of respect and admiration for that esteemed faith. Moving on.
So Easter happened. Among the fun things that I got to do, besides the Easter egg hunt, which is always awesome with the kids,
nice.
I got to sit in a chair between one relative on my left and on the right, my parents' computer desk where my cousin was sitting.
How old is the cousin?
He's in his early 30s.
Okay.
And he was playing, I think he prefaced this whole playlist of YouTube videos that he gave to me with this. I don't know how hardcore you go anymore, but like, listen to this. And it was just one after another, I don't know, like screech metal, if that's even a thing. Like,
yay.
It was just like really loud guitars and people screaming.
Wow.
And apparently I was supposed to really enjoy it, and all of us were supposed to, but
are you sure it's not an 11-year-old girl that's mad at her parents?
I don't know. It wasn't screamo. I mean, like, I've heard screamo.
Okay.
So it wasn't that. But it was metal where occasionally the dude would sing, but then the chorus would be just him screaming or bellowing.
Yeah. And I remember when our band tried that one day, and then it turned out Andy just was really angry with us.
Yeah.
That was not fun. I can't imagine it would be fun to watch on YouTube either.
No. So eventually I think he got the hint that none of us were enjoying these videos, so we watched videos of babies laughing instead.
Wow. That's a 180.
I don't know. I tried to think as he was playing those videos, like, what is the hardest music that I listened to in terms of hard-edged, and I was hard-pressed to think of anything.
And you were brought back to the same, you know, debate between Tiffany or Debbie Gibson. You were like, damn it, can't decide.
Yes.
Both done Playboy.
Actually,
that's not true.
Yeah,
I think it was just Tiffany.
Yeah, I don't know about Debbie Gibson.
Not a subscriber, so I don't know. I could Google it, but...
Yeah. I will admit I was a subscriber when the Tiffany one came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's framed on the wall behind you there.
But weird. So, I mean, I did try to think of some music that I am listening to that's hard-edged, but most of the stuff that I get interested in now is, I don't know, indie and weird, strange covers. I mean, you turned me on to the Lissy cover album, which we played a few songs off of a few
weeks
ago. It's
about as far from hardcore as it gets.
Like, and I'm, like, excited for the Amanda Palmer record that's supposed to come out this fall and things like that. And occasionally those will get weird and hard-edged, but,
I've been taking on the new Sigur Rós and Sunkill Moon albums, which are about as far from hardcore as you get.
I know. I like noise stuff, too. I mean, a lot of what Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross do on the soundtracks they've done is... I would consider that to be kind of abrasive at times, and I dig that stuff, but it's not hard-edged in the same way that he was talking about.
Yeah, well, I guess it's, you know, hard to compete with people who have no ability. Mm. So, I don't know. I've never respected a genre wherein people just yell.
Yeah,
I can get behind metal, because there's actually, like, you know, it's not my favorite genre, but there's a lot of musicianship that goes into constructing a lot of those metal songs.
Sure.
And certainly it takes a lot of technical proficiency to play as fast as some of these guys do.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, at the same time, it's just like, so your thing is you yell.
Yeah. And I, that part I don't get, especially when the dude, or the woman can actually sing. So when they sing during the verses or whatever, and then the chorus turns out to be this screech for maybe 60 seconds. I don't know.
Maybe at some point somebody said, "Well, it's really hard to sing when you can't hear yourself, and if we're playing a concert, people won't be able to hear themselves, but everybody can yell." So
maybe
let's just do that.
I don't know. That's yeah. Cool.
Imagine porting that to other genres, like if like went to like a Bryan Adams concert, and then like all the choruses were just Bryan Adams yelling. I think that's great. I would love to see that. That would be hilarious. Or like Jay-Z, that'd be pretty good.
But then there are some people who can take a something that's quiet and make it go loud for a second and make it awesome. Like I one of the songs, probably the only Bjork song that I really know very, very well, is It's Oh So Quiet. And,
sure.
You know.
But loud, quiet, loud is a little different than I'm just going to yell a lot. We should do a podcast like that, but not now.
Not now.
Where we just stand 50 feet from the microphone and yell at. Well,
so
the audio wouldn't be quite as bad as some of our episodes, but hey,
yeah, you know,
we're getting there.
We are. I mean, this is what happens when we leave me, who is probably going deaf in charge of mixing the things.
It's all that Debbie Gibson. Yeah, but you know, we're new waysiders. But
hey. No, we're not.
You had to go and antagonize them.
I didn't antagonize them. On the last podcast, I mentioned them as rivals. And
I hadn't been on Twitter in like 2 days, and then I log in and there's like 50 posts from you and everybody going back and forth.
It's fun to have rivalries. It's fun to have competition.
I don't know.
I mean, there's the thing. Like, I always...
I want people to like me. I don't need to get... I mean, I don't know what they get up to in the Midwest. You know, they got militias and stuff. I don't need them getting angry at us.
It's something about Midwest, Middle East, you know, militias. It's
just don't do it. Just stay here.
I've always sucked at sports, but I like competition. I like competition, and so, you know, I podcasting as a competition, I could do that. You know,
okay, that's cool.
You know, I mean, I sucked at Dungeons and Dragons too, and that but I like competition. You know,
Chris, you have the ability to remove the curse that is killing us, Chris. You could cast Remove Curse. Chris, Remove Curse. I will attack it. You jackass. Chris, Remove Curse. I think the character would be so mad he would punch things. He's
that...
a paladin. He's lawful good. He would save his party members. Remove Curse, dude. I get angry and leave.
That didn't happen.
No, I'm angry and I'm leaving, and then you would go.
Like, you know what? That didn't happen. If that happened the same night that we listened to Rush while playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't think it ever happened, but it's weird because like that's like the stereotype, right? It's like
right.
A bunch of nerds in a basement listening to Rush and like surrounded by Lord of the Rings posters playing Dungeons and Dragons. But I don't think in my life those three things ever came together.
Yeah.
And yet every time a Rush song comes on, within like 20 seconds, my brain's like, where's my D20? Just a little weird.
Yeah. Oh man. So
we should inject more D&D related slang just for a week into our daily interactions and see what happens.
Just see what happens.
Like if something it happens, be like, oh, natural 20.
I could
see what happens.
I could have gotten away with it with
do that, Waysiders.
With my advanced fiction class, because a couple weeks ago, and I think I mentioned this back when we started getting pretty regular with the podcast again, that we read this story called The Dungeon Master. So there was an opportunity there, and I didn't take it.
I'm going to try it. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. All
right,
starting.
I will randomly interject, oh, natural 20 when things are right, or, oh, you rolled a 1, dude.
What do you think that girl's Thaco is? No, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We'll try it in different situations. We'll go out with some of our single friends, watch some hit on people, and then they'll come back and be unsuccessful and be like, oh, Thaco too high, dude. That'd be great.
See, the thing is, I mean, it's been a long time since I played. I actually think Thaco doesn't even exist anymore.
They don't even exist anymore.
It went away. See, I don't know what you would do with Dungeons and Dragons without Thaco. I don't know.
It's weird. You just beat the number now.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Speaking of strange things, which is my ham-fisted way to transition into one of the other topics.
Okay.
You pick one. What strange things else do we have going
Well,
on?
apparently, as of today, no more Rig Santorum.
Oh, that is a strange thing.
Means that for at least the next 4 years, we're going to end up living under the tyranny of the uterus.
Yeah, guy. I
that was my last hope in not going gay. Is Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum, yeah.
Allowing gay people.
Man, and the country would be so much better if we could just align behind a guy like that. And I don't understand
yeah,
why.
It's weird. Like, you Google it and there's like a huge aversion to getting behind Santorum.
I did.
I'm not really sure what that's about, but there's like a real aversion to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why.
I probably have to ask some grown-ups in the Waysiders to explain.
He seems like the sort of guy that you could follow, and he would reach
what,
back
me?
And no, Santorum.
You're done here.
He seems like the sort of guy who would reach back and pull you up or pull you somewhere if you.
I think we're extending the metaphor in all kinds of uncomfortable ways now.
So he's gone.
But yeah, goodbye, Santorum. Now we have to put up with women being uppity and people going to college.
Yeah. And porn.
The 20th century.
Who is left? I mean, I haven't been paying attention. Is Romney all that's left?
Pretty
I mean, it's...
Romney. I mean, yeah. No one's going to come out at this point and beat Romney.
Well, they might come out now that Santorum isn't.
Yeah. I wish Santorum would just come out. It'd be so much easier for everybody. But, Romney, it's going to be Romney.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'll be interesting, I suppose.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So that happened. So now, maybe, finally, the Republicans will stop their circular firing squad, which has been fun to watch, but kind of ridiculous.
Right. I mean, it'd be nice to just, I don't know. Is it nice to get down to the two of, to him and Obama back and forth this early, or?
Yeah, I mean, because it's later than it usually is. And I mean, frankly, the longer that dude has to actually defend his stuff in a broader scale, the better for everybody.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, so that happened. So,
yeah.
No more of that guy.
And I mean, it has been a weird week for headlines. Aside from the political thing, Instagram
I know, right?
gets bought by Facebook for $1 billion. What was
billion
that
dollars?
What was that tweet that you?
Casey
there's a couple.
Houston, who's a reporter? Zuck. So how does $1 million sound? Instagram. $1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? Zuck rests forehead on desk, fade to black. John Herman retweeted something, which pointed out that, 551 day old Instagram is now worth $1 billion, and 116-year-old New York Times, $967 million.
Jesus.
Which, by the way, I'm 33. If you do the math and assume I'll live as long as the New York Times, I'm 275 million behind the curve. So, yay!
Yay!
So much for my retirement plan.
I mean, like, hooray for the Instagram guys. And I did use it for a while, but
apparently
it's...
there are 12 of them, and now and they had no revenue stream. And now their CEO is worth $400 million.
Yeah. I mean,
what
hooray for them.
That would be.
I don't know. I try to understand the appeal of the thing. That's I think there was a tweet that you favorited from Mike Drucker. Fucking calm down, white people. It's just an app designed to make your photos look shitty on a site designed to make your life look shitty. I think that's pretty apt.
It's true. Anybody I've ever asked about Instagram is like, it makes your pictures look bad.
It's like, I think it, who was it? What the heck is his name? Andy Anatko, writing for the Chicago Sun-Times, talks about this, and it's, people are getting these amazing cell phone cameras now, right?
Sure.
And the whole idea behind improving the cell phone camera is that you can take better pictures, and then they're running them through this app, which makes them look crappy on purpose. It makes them look, I mean, I understand the nostalgia factor. Like, I will go into
I remember Polaroids, sure.
But you can make that Polaroid effect in a decent photo many different photo editing apps on your mobile device that will maintain the integrity of the thing, maintain the metadata. That's the huge thing that I have an acquaintance on Twitter who rails against Instagram primarily for the fact that it gets rid of your metadata entirely. So anything about where it was taken, exposure, all that is gone the moment you run it through Instagram. And I don't know. I don't understand the appeal of it.
I don't get it. I mean, I'm looking on Mashable has a gallery in the article on Facebook buying Instagram of you know, 12 best Instagram photos, according to them. And I mean, yeah, some of these filters kind of interesting, you know, like, oh, wow, that really does look like an old photo. But then it's kind of like, okay, it looks like an old photo.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, and like I said, that's not my objection to it. My objection is that it looks like an old photo that's been squished into a square, that's been downgraded in terms of its quality, that's lost a lot of valuable information about it in the process.
Yeah.
I'm fine with going, you know, and I in fact, will sometimes apply a sort of nostalgia-like filter on some of my photos.
But because, you can do that with, like, Picasa or iPhoto or whatever and not lose your...
Right. Do it with a non-destructive photo editing program and keep the original. And if you ever decide that you're through with your phase of having your photos look like they were shot in the 70s, then you can go back to...
Right. I mean, that's why I like using Picasa because, like, I take a lot of photos with digital camera, and most of the time... 99% of the time, I'm not manually adjusting everything, you know.
Yeah.
Just running with the auto. I have a good camera, but as you know, like, the auto white balance thing tends to make photos a little less colorful, a little more bleachy.
Right.
And, you know, the nice thing about Picasa is you can say, like, correct for white balance, and then poof, it's back. And yeah, occasionally I'll be like, yeah, let's tweak the color saturation. Yay!
Yeah.
But, you know, all I have to do is go back to the photo and click undo filters and then done.
I mean,
hey, congrats to those guys because $1 billion for something that apparently everybody was going to quit because it got to Android this week.
People
spit. The biggest stories I saw yesterday were how do I quit Instagram and get all my photos out before Facebook takes over? And if Facebook bought them to be cool, like, shouldn't it be a big heads up to the Facebook guys that they have bigger problems?
Yeah, I mean, I quit Instagram as part of a mass purge of social networks a few weeks, maybe even a few months ago at this point. And it's not that hard to do. You just got to go into the settings. You know, the hardest one to do was Path. And Path got into a whole bunch of trouble for using...
contacts and photos and whatnot.
Yeah, and that one... I had to send in an email request to cancel my account, and they made me wait like 10 days or 2 weeks before they finally canceled it. And then just yesterday I got the confirmation that my Path account was canceled.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I got into way too many social networks there for a while, and I just decided to dial back, and now it's primarily Twitter and Facebook, and I don't know. I mean, I think there are some days I'm like, I think I could do without Facebook, but there are too many people I know.
There's too many people that it's my only point of contact. And it kind of sucks because, like, I remember the early days of my Facebook, you know, account where it was like, these are just people I actually know and spend time with and like. Right. And now, sorry, world, but there are some of you in my Facebook friends that I have a hard time remembering.
Mm.
Like, who are you exactly? Why are you friends?
There are people that I remember and that I want to unfriend or whatever because they post annoying things to my stream. But I don't think they're bad people. I just think they post things that I don't want to see.
Yeah, there are some people who needed to be muted. We have a mutual friend who has a cause. And she's very political about her cause.
Yes.
And there's like 100 posts a day.
Mm.
And since I find the cause so remarkably inane, I had to mute it because I don't want to say anything rude. And I was finding it hard to resist the temptation.
I don't know. I mean, I imagine I could go in there and mute people. And in fact, it's something I'm looking into with Twitter because I love Twitter. I don't want to leave Twitter. But there are people who's, especially people who retweet things, and I love.
I see how it is.
I love the new retweet feature, but there are a couple of social media experts in my feed. Not any of my really good friends, because they tend to post valuable stuff. But some of my
next time I retweet one of your stupid book publishing nonsense things. Screw Chris's play. I'm not retweeting that crap. Anyway. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, there are some people who...
I just wish that we were...
They just post too much.
Yeah. I wish that we didn't have this stigma about unfollowing and unfriending, too. That people didn't automatically assume it had real-world implications. Like,
and people do. Like, there was a gunfight, apparently, last week because somebody broke up with someone on Facebook.
I just, you know, if I unfollow you or I unfriend you, it's not because I think you're a bad person. It's just because I've only got so much time in the damn day, and I don't, when I go on to these things, I want all value and no filler.
It's true. It really is. It's very complicated politically. And, like, the thing is, like, I think about it sometimes, and I use Facebook lists, and they're a pain to manage, not at all like Google Plus circles, which I'm sorry are way better than the lists on Facebook, but I use them to put people in like the, I don't really know you, I'm not going to let you look at anything folder, and you know, the, okay, it's fine if you want to see, you know, whatever, right, folder, but yeah, like, I think about it and it's like, well, I guess I'd have to start a new Facebook account at this point if I wanted to just have people I care about.
Yeah.
You know, and now that so many companies apparently during the hiring process are like, we need to look in your Facebook account, which I still think is illegal and I still would not do. Like, I wouldn't take a job if they did.
I wouldn't either.
Even if it were a really good job, like if Google came to me and were like, we want to pay you sacks of money to work for us, but we just want to look in your Facebook account, I'd probably be like, sorry, dude.
Yeah. And it's not that I feel like I have anything in my Facebook account to be ashamed of.
It's not just my privacy. It's anything my friends wrote. It's anything my contacts wrote. And if people can't trust in your integrity to protect their information, what good is a social network? You know what I mean? So... Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. So, and I know a lot of people who do that, but they don't do it very well. Like, their name will be like Jeff.Smith2. You know, and you're like,
yeah,
I think it's kind of obvious, dude.
What circumstance would it have to take for you to completely leave Facebook in a hypothetical situation? Is there one?
I don't know. If I could somehow maintain that list of contacts, you know, and like there are some people whose updates I really do care about, you know, and if they moved to, let's say, Google Plus, and I could keep the other contacts somewhere, I'd quit. Because, I mean, it sounds really snobbish, but it just has lost its appeal. Like, when I started, there weren't 1,000,000,000 apps, and there weren't 1,000,000,000 ads, and there weren't, you know, just so many promoted things, and my feed was sensible. It wasn't like constantly flitting between most recent and, you know, sorted.
Right.
I hate the new interface. I mean, Timeline's okay, but I feel like my problem with Timeline isn't what it wants to do. It's that it wastes so much white space. I mean, between boxes, there's all this space. And I mean, I'm on a 16-inch laptop screen. It's not small. It's, you know, running at HD res, but at the same time, it's like, you know, doing a lot of scrolling instead of reading.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, I had a student the other day who handed in an essay in 6-point font.
Six?
6-point font. And, you know, frankly, I was looking at it and I'm like, what else is this annoying? Oh, Facebook. Because Facebook's font is this small.
Yeah.
Like, my eyesight is not perfect, but it's very close to perfect.
Mm.
And every time I look at Facebook now, I sound like an 80-year-old person. It's just like, hell, who thought 9-point was the way to go?
Yeah.
Why is this readable?
I feel like I feel like there's going to come a point where there's some privacy violation or something that's going to cause a mass exodus. But I also feel like waiting for that is probably a bad, I don't know. I try to think of what would make me leave, because I have the same situation. There are too many people that's my only point of contact, and I don't think I can.
But the other thing, it's like, now I feel uncomfortable web browsing.
Mm.
Like, not that I spend all my day on bad websites or something, but like, because everything is connected to Facebook now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really worried that I'm just going to be browsing somewhere, like, not even doing anything that bad, and then it's going to show up on my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
Because they tried to do that with Beacon, and that didn't work out, but then,
right.
You know, like, I signed up for Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
And Goodreads lets you import your Facebook contacts, you know, to see, like,
right.
What is mm-hmm. on Goodreads. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And, you know, so I did it, and then I went to Facebook, I went to my settings, I deleted the app.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And 2 days later, I'm looking at my Facebook timeline, and there's all these Goodreads posts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the hell is this? Well, apparently deleting it from Facebook now doesn't always mean it's gone. Because the person to whom you have given the permission can still do stuff for a while.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell? So, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Stuff like that, you know, like the fact that I just... Like, now, I will often activate the private mode of my browser
mm-hmm.
just to do normal everyday web browsing. Not, like, because I'm hiding GIFs or because I'm looking at, like, you know, Santorum pictures.
Yeah.
But, like, I will just do it because it's kind of like... Mm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And actually, it's true. Like, I have Firefox for the, like, social media stuff, and then I have all my accounts logged out in Chrome, and I use Chrome most of the time now for that stuff.
Yeah, I have... my Google accounts in a separate browser, my Facebook I think my Facebook is in the main one. I probably should move it over to the separate browser. But anyway, so,
it's very tedious for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are a lot of people in the same situation of like, now we're so hooked in, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It is useful every once in a while. I discovered a new Avengers trailer or TV commercial today via Facebook, and it was kick-ass, and it was like 30 seconds long, but enough little extra snippets that it got me excited again, which is
I saw a thing where somebody had asked Joss Whedon to weigh in on a hypothetical fight between Black Widow and Buffy, so he described how that fight would go down. So that's nice, but. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm getting from Facebook these days.
See, but I that stuff I'm okay with. I love Joss Whedon. I've come to really adore the dude. And I was not... I mean, you've talked recently about starting to watch Buffy.
Hold on with that. I'm at the end of the fourth season of Angel now.
Oh, cool. And how's that going?
I hate the fourth season of Angel. I was okay with it. It started off very slow, and I was kind of like, oh, wow, this Doyle guy had better die. Oh, he did. Oh, good. The fourth season, it's kind of like that sixth season or fifth season. The one where Buffy starts off dead.
Yeah.
And she comes back. Because both seasons are just kind of like, when are you going to get to a point? Like, is anything going to happen? Because what the hell?
I mean, that was the problem with lots of WB and CW shows. I was a huge Smallville fan for a while, and they just wouldn't get to a point for
kind of like this podcast, of the season. But you know, in episodic form over the course of a year. Oh wait, huh?
So, I brought up the Avengers and seeing that on Facebook as a ham-fisted way to transition into the
tickets. We're going to a movie marathon.
Yeah, we've mentioned it, and we actually bought tickets. We were supposed to go to the Boston.
We'll see if you get yours.
I have to behave for
the next
one.
We have to wait for some cash.
I do need to get you some cash.
We'll see. I might auction it off.
We were supposed to go to the Boston Common one, and then it turned out that
people in Boston actually go to movies.
Yeah, people in Boston actually sign up for things like this, so... We're going to one in Danvers,
I
believe.
Which is Old Salem, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it'll be fun regardless. And if we need to take a long lunch or bathroom break, we know that the second half of Incredible Hulk will be there.
Yeah, it's true. Or actually parts of Iron Man, too. So we'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's at a mall, so I assume we'll be eating food court food. So, all right, orange chicken from the Panda Walk, perhaps.
I wonder if they, like the Pheasant Lane Mall, have three different or like five different buffet places that are all competing for the
Yeah, maybe.
cheapest amount per plate. Yeah, no, so I'm really looking forward to that. It's I think
For those that forget, which happens, it's all of the Marvel superhero movies,
right.
and then the
So
Avengers.
yeah, so starting with Iron Man, Hulk, or Incredible Hulk rather, not the Ang Lee Hulk, and then Iron Man 2, Thor, Cap, and then Avengers. It'll be fun, especially because I feel like Avengers is gonna really cap things off. I in Joss I trust.
Sorry.
It's funny how I almost never intend those things. They just happen out of my dumb mouth.
Oh. Yeah, no, it'll be a good time. And it'll be the longest I think I've ever spent in a movie theater consecutively, even when I worked in a movie theater. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I read some analyst this morning who was saying that like they expect the Avengers to break Dark Knight's record for sales and opening weekend and whatnot.
Yeah, but then Dark Knight Rises comes out like a month or however long later, and that'll obliterate that. Well, I don't know if it'll obliterate it, but I imagine it'll
I'm
do
really
pretty
looking forward to it. I have absolute faith in Chris Nolan. I'm
well. Yeah.
really looking forward
I find it's a very interesting DC and Warner Brothers have done very little marketing on it. While Avengers has been hyping up, and I think part of it seems to me a sign of respect, but part of it is it's like a sort of we don't have to overhype this for a month ahead. Like we'll overhype it in the 2 or 3 weeks between the movies or month or whatever. When does that one come out?
July or June?
June. Okay, so it's
I
yeah,
think
it's
it's
a,
June. Maybe it's like June 23rd or something.
okay, so like maybe a couple months because Avengers coming out at the very beginning of May. Yeah, so they'll have plenty of time to hype it up, and I think it'll I don't know. I trust Chris Nolan. I just don't know what I don't know how you follow up The Dark Knight. As much as I trust Chris Nolan, I think Bane is kind of a weird villain and
I trust the dude. I don't know. I think he followed it up by not attempting to get the Joker in it. A lot of people, like originally when Joseph Gordon-Levitt was cast, people were like, "Oh wait, no, is he gonna like be the new Joker? What are they doing?"
Yeah, or Riddler or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I think
I'm actually really glad that he stayed away from so many of the stupid villains. I mean,
I mean,
the
and
Penguin.
well, and Penguin, yeah. And Penguin and Riddler. I mean,
Mr.
that he didn't go Mr. Freeze or any of the ones that Schumacher.
Freeze. Yeah. Yeah, that Schumacher Batman. Even he's apologized for it recently.
For nipples on the bat suits.
Oh, dude, what the hell was that? Or the
Hot.
Bat Card. Like, as if somehow Batman worked that out with MasterCard, were they like, "So, Mr. Batman, we are an international banking conglomerate. We hear that you are a vigilante. We would like to set up your own credit card, with your own logo. How'd that be?"
That'd be
No, I
fantastic.
seriously think
Well,
that happened.
will I be allowed to buy leather suits with nipples on them? That's all I
Although,
really need.
I bet they didn't raise that guy's interest rates up to 30% for no reason. Anyway, so yeah,
Credit
speaking of
cards.
movies, you're currently making a movie involving pancake shots.
Not pancake shots. No, we're done talking about pancake shots. Done talking about
Fire.
the misuse of whiskey. No, there's a play that I did a couple years ago called Pancakes, written by the aforementioned John Herman, and we're making a movie out of it this
All right.
weekend. It's going to be very interesting because
Is that why
I
he was asking for makeup artists on Twitter?
yeah, and he's looking for makeup artists. He's looking for some strange costumes
And a wine
today.
shop.
I'm going to. I am apparently supposed to meet up with somebody who has a taxidermied animal of some sort. So
Okay.
it's going to be a very weird vibe in terms of what the set is going to look like. But the play is pretty. The screenplay is pretty straightforward. It's a very the idea is that a guy gets a chance to speak with his with a robot that has been imprinted with his estranged father's likeness. And he gets about 5 minutes with the thing. And he doesn't really want the 5 minutes, but he wants an answer to a lingering question. The two of them don't get along. There's an attendant involved who is trying to get him to interact with this robot in the appropriate way. It's very, very intense and cool, but there's going to be a weird vibe around it. So it should be a fun shoot.
The dude does a lot of plays involving robots.
Yeah. This one, I think, you know, of all the plays that took place in that evening of Robot and Steampunk Theater a couple years ago, this one was the one that I think was hatched in a very normal playwriting workshop. That it was probably the weirdest one because it happened to have a robot. But it's a pretty straightforward narrative, and it's just we're
cool.
Kind of weirding it up, I guess.
So what brought the film together? What are you doing for the film?
I'm acting. So when I did the play a couple years ago, I was stepping back into directing for the first time in a very, very long time. And one of my actors dropped out at the last minute, so I ended up stepping back into acting for the first time in a very long time. And both the directing and the acting got great reviews, so that's how I got back into the whole theater thing. So I'm reprising that role.
It's kind of cool, going full circle.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited. All but one of the original three of us is back, and the person who's replacing the guy who couldn't make it for this shoot is actually my friend Liz, who I've done a whole bunch of stuff with. So it'll be a fun, comfortable setting, and I look forward to seeing how it comes out, because
wow, this is a dude. Who knew?
Yeah.
Sorry. that's really so cool.
That's pretty much...
So are you filming in Portsmouth? Or?
Newmarket, I think. So just outside of Portsmouth. It's John's stomping grounds, and he knows the area pretty well, so...
Did I read correctly the other day that John got asked to do a TED Talk?
I think so. A TEDx.
What the hell?
I don't know.
This is going. He gets to go to space, and he gets to do a TED Talk.
He doesn't. He isn't guaranteed.
He might
get to
go to space.
He might get to go to space.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Life is very strange. I don't know. I was reading. I bought my first ebook this week. I'd never actually purchased an ebook, but I was there and I was goofing around with a popular book reading application, and the new Kevin Smith book was there, and so I said, "Oh, all right, I'll read that." And, so I bought it, and I'm reading this biography, and like the whole premise of the biography, and then the details of the biography seem to be that you can be a lazy fat slob, decide you're going to do something, and then people will just do it for you. So maybe I'm just not motivated enough to get this done, because what the hell, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it happens for people in at different levels and at different times is what it seems to me. This sort of striking it rich in whatever sense rich might mean, whether it's rich in activities or rich in actual money. And it seems to me that it happens completely randomly. So. I don't know. I've had lots of moments where, you know, knowing John, being friends with him, where I've had moments of jealousy, being like he gets to do a TED, you know, he might do a TED Talk, he might go to space.
Let's kill him and take his power. I think if we eat his flesh, then we gain his power.
Let's imprint his likeness onto a robot and then program that robot to go around
destroy.
And or make things happen for us. We don't need to, you know. Destroy him necessarily.
What if he wants stuff that's in conflict with what we want? Won't his power override our power?
But if he's the rope, if we programmed him, if I don't know.
The thing that sucks is that his wife seems so nice.
Yeah, and he has a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just enslave him.
Okay. Works for me.
Settled.
Settled.
Hey, Waysiders, you want to help with a project? It seems like the kind of thing they'd be up for.
It does.
Especially
it
that does. dude with the beard.
Yes. Our hero is nefarious. I think nefarious would be a good. Usually use that to describe a plot, but you can use nefarious to describe a person, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think nefarious suits him well.
It's just the beard.
Mm.
It's got mad scientist kind of all over
it. It does. And he is kind of a mad scientist. Everything that he's written that I've either heard or read kind of has that mad scientist vibe.
It's good to know that my instincts about people are right, even when my instincts are mad scientist.
But, I mean, he's a very, very nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
But
mad scientists are. I mean, Dr. Frankenfurter was a very charming host.
That's how we can actually upset them, by saying things like that they're very, very nice guys. You know, if we talk about things that they actually do on their podcast or characteristics that they display on their podcast, that doesn't really help us.
That's true. RT gave a bunch of arcade tickets to a little kid.
Yeah, he did.
That's true.
He's such a sweetheart.
That dude was cleaning up on Smoke and Token, and then he just gave them away. What a peach.
Oh, what a peach. And a mad scientist who's
Hardicle.
He's a really sweet guy.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other dudes.
Yeah, who knows about that other guy.
Yeah.
But I bet he's a very kind soul, too. So, anyway, okay, now that we've kind of sort of alienated everybody and we're back to what we do, this is our strength. Any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, I think the real closing thought for me would be I don't know how to close podcasts any better than I know how to open them. So
yeah, I mean, this is why the Autotune Wolves were such a blessing, because we could just put them on and like go, you know. Yeah. And by the way, it does not work at parties.
And doesn't always work when we say it these days, because we were talking.
They left.
Yeah, we were talking about things that are probably overdone before we started the podcast. One of them being me screwing up the intro.
It's true, but it's been over a year since we've heard from the Auto-Tuned Wolves.
No, we heard from them last week.
No, we heard the Ken Mills experience last week.
No, we heard the Auto-Tuned Wolves.
No, we heard the Ken Mills experience last week.
But no, we heard the Auto-Tuned Wolves. I swear.
We did?
We did.
I'm pretty sure I listened to the podcast.
They were in there for just a brief moment.
I had to listen to my heart. Right. Okay. I guess I was so entranced by the Ken Mills experience that I missed that somehow.
But now you just gave me an excuse to put Auto-Tuned Wolves in here like 10 times.
Hooray! Suck at that. All right, well, barring an apocalypse, we'll probably do another one of these soon. Friday the 13th is the next Friday, so who knows what
we'll do. This is true.
I gotta wake up now.
I think we both have to go grade papers.
Go grade papers, which is about as non-hardcore as we can get. Your cousin was right. We've gone soft.
We have gone.
But let's not close out the podcast with screaming metal.
No,
maybe the screaming trees.
Screaming trees. Or, you know, you did say that you needed to listen to your heart. We could go one of two directions here.
Wow. I'm not even sure I could name a song by heart, despite the fact that cassette was in the collection of everybody I know.
We talked about that. But Listen to Your Heart is actually sung by Roxette.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to put away my fountain of useless knowledge.
Keep the joyride and let's go. Oh, you should, somewhere on the internet, Andy defends Joyride as a great, great song. We should just read it. So, anyway, that's Generation Goat. As you can see, we are carrying on with the proud suck tradition. Until next time.
See you later.
Bye, everybody. We'll be right back. record button. It is now recording. So, okay, take it away.
Hi, and welcome to... That was weird. Let me start again.
I think the trope of you starting the podcast and then messing it up is becoming tired. I think it's our arrow to the knee.
Yeah, I don't think we should... I think we should just start with...
With this. I was gonna start a podcast just like you, but I took an air. Yeah, it's just not. Yeah, it's like Kevin Smith and Weed at this point. It's just played out, you know.
We're gonna throw all this at the end. Right. All right.